The following ABC7 podcast is brought to you by ABC7News.com.
Darren Romeo is winding up his engagement at the Post Street Theater this weekend. It's a show that combines music and magic. Romeo is the protege of Siegfried and Roy, the Las Vegas legends. Romeo has been named Magician of the Year. We sat down with Darren Romeo and Siegfried before the show opened.
It started as a hobby, but then it turned into, you know, everything. You know, sometimes I believe that, you know, things, you know the saying, things, you don't choose things, things choose you. And I really think that it became just the only choice for me. Performing, first magic and then everything else.
All right. But you had a voice you knew you could sing to? Because I don't know many singing magicians.
Well, you bring that, but when you say singing magician, you want to run from the theater rather than to it. No, seriously, it has a strange connotation. It needs a little bit of explanation, but if you think about singing and magic, you know, music is a universal language. So is magic. So if you're using music to tell a story, you're bringing the heart in, you're bringing the emotion in. We all relate to it. Whether you're falling in love or getting dumped, it makes it relatable. It's important that it's not just magic. It's important that, you know, the magic is a vehicle to reach the audience, to make them feel. That's what it's about, really, the combination.
And when did you know you could actually combine these two elements?
Well, it's kind of separate. It was My magic career was going in New York and on a very tiny level. Mm-hmm. But then simultaneously but separate, I started to do musical theater. And I realized that it wasn't just about being a magician. It was about performing, being an entertainer, coming on stage. And I was named after Bobby Darin. And long story short, it seemed like the perfect fit to try it out. And so the first time that I sang Dream Lover and produced My Leading Lady, and she's still the same leading lady for all these years, which is actually pretty wonderful. One of my magician friends said, "That's it, you're the voice of magic," and it kind of made sense. So even though that routine is kind of a little commercial, a little cliche, it was the birth of an idea, and then we started to brainstorm more theatrical things, all different things.
Yes, and suddenly he appears on the scene? Siegfried,
I wouldn't say he appeared. This is
what happened.
You can imagine that as a kid, you know, what Siegfried and Roy were to me. It was never supposed to be Siegfried and Roy Presents the show. It was never supposed to be Protégé. It kind of happened, naturally and over time. I performed at the Magic Castle in Hollywood, and a friend of his, I think we could say, dragged you.
Forced me.
Because you've seen them all. Right?
Yes, I saw them all, and yeah. Of course, and I wouldn't go. You know, I had two shows a night, and had 3,000 people in front of me, and who wanted to see me. And afterwards, I talked with them, and there are a lot of magicians who come and wanted to have some advice, but I never went to them. They always came to me.
The last thing you wanted to do.
So one day I get this phone call from Princess Irene. She is also the president and owner of the Magic Castle in Los Angeles. She says, "Why you don't come over here? We at the Flamingo and we see this young Darren Romeo. He worked for the Magic Castle and he is very nice. You're going to like him." And I say, "Sorry, Princess, but I don't go in the afternoon in Las Vegas on the Strip to see another magician and not a singing one on top of it." Which I changed my mind and I said, "Okay, just for a toast, because she is a dear friend of mine and I want to see." And then I went there, have a toast, "Welcome to Las Vegas," and the curtain opened up, the music started, and then there comes Darren Romeo on stage and had a glimpse But so after 10 minutes, I realized there was a connection with the audience. He had a way to integrate his singing and the magic, and it felt right. And it felt, I haven't seen that before. And the way how I handled the audience, and I realized there is some talent, there is something in the air, you know. And afterwards, we met. And we had a very nice conversation, and it went on from there.
And you producing him, that's unusual. Have you produced other?
I never did. And yes, and I produced because over the years I studied him, and I tested him if he has the character, because in show business it's not so easy. This is a tough business.
Sure it is.
And of course, everyone gets a chance in his life, but to stay there is another thing. So I think Roy and myself, we helped him a little bit to have it easier at the beginning. But in other words, we opened up the door a little bit for him. But then now he has to work by himself and has worked through. And he does very well. He played Vegas. He played Atlantic City, Reno. And
it was
Branson.
Never supposed to be Siegfried and Roy Presents. It was never supposed to be Protégé. It was the right time where we started to collaborate on an idea. And then it, once again, naturally, I hate to overuse the word, it became, you know, well, now this and now this and now this. And 2 years later, it was, well, let's do Siegfried and Roy Presents, you know, and we launched it at the Mirage, and that was a really special time in my life. And
is Las Vegas really an important place for a performer to appear?
Oh, of course.
You know, I'm there for, I've been in Vegas now for 40 years.
You said it.
And I saw it growing up, and I think Siegfried and Roy grow with Las Vegas. And over the years, I realized every performer in the world comes to Las Vegas with the hope, I want to be there. And I met them all. And they're all the great ones who have been very great. They're there, they have been there, and they're still there. We just come back. We have been opening for Cher, and we became a good acquaintance over the years. She played also in my showroom when I had a week off, and Cher was there, and now she was a great success, wonderful. And so all the performers, all the great ones, you know, and my time when I started out was the Rat Pack, it was Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra, and Sammy Davis and all these people, you know. And now, of course, Vegas is a tough city because the competition is not anymore the performer over there. The whole town becomes it's fearless.
And mega $1 million, you know big thing. So you can
big
imagine.
Big, you know, and a big investment. Like some shows there. Production cost is about $160 million. This is unheard
of. You can't understand.
And now they're building hotels there in the billions. You know, it's not anymore. In my time, it was $100 million was an unbelievable thing. Like the Mirage, we built it for $750 million, and now all the hotels there are $3, $6, and now $9 billion.
It's,
you know, it's amazing. It's
so you can imagine, like, being from New York and then having the opportunity to launch a career. I mean, we had some success before this, but I mean, to be Siegfried and Roy Presents and launch in Vegas, it gave me the wings to fly, and then that's why San Francisco is so exciting.
Well, yeah, you're doing theater here. There's theater in Las Vegas, as we know, but you've done, I'm sure, a lot of the clubs. Why theater? Why does this work here? What do you think?
Well, I mean, if you think, well, first of all, you know, I'm a magician, but I don't want to be just a magician, and I don't want this to be just a magic show. Magic is a tough sell these days, and for me, I want this to be a theatrical experience. I want to take the audience on a journey. And like Siegfried and Roy did with their, you know, record-breaking show, it was also not just magic. It was a moving, theatrical, spiritual, you know, experience. And through music and magic, it can also be that, on a different scale, of course. But at the Post Street Theater, when you have this intimate, beautiful theater, I mean, it's a beautiful theater, you can imagine that large illusions are going to feel, you know, even larger because,
right.
You know, when I made the decision, I was standing on the stage and I was looking out into the audience and I said, wow, I can reach everybody. You know, sometimes in 2,000 or 3,000 seat theaters, you lose that intimacy. And entertainment, as he's talking about, as things are getting bigger and bigger and bigger and more spectacle and more millions, it's hard to bring the human emotion and back into the show. It's hard to make the audience feel one with the show, and that's what I want to do.
It's probably good timing too, because you're launching in the summertime, and here come the tourists. And I don't know how you're marketing this or how it's going to play, but it seemed, you know, you're obviously appealing to people around the country, as well as locals who go to the theater a lot here. You know?
If you think, music is the universal language, and so is magic. So it doesn't matter what you speak, and whether you're young or old or you know, the teenagers, or what's this guy doing,
right,
like that. It's got to have appeal to everyone. So yeah, summertime is a great time to do this.
Yeah. I have to ask you, the obvious question we have to, because people asked me before I came over here, how Roy is doing.
Thank you very much for the questions, because Roy is doing very well. Exceptional well, but unfortunately the night with Cher got a little late and he couldn't do it. He's come here, but he's gonna be here for the opening. And he's very excited about it, and he's very proud of our fellow here, and he has a lot of hopes and convinced he will do it. And he says it's gonna be your town, but you know, you have to be hard, because he says, when you're not good, I'm going to come to San Francisco and I'm going to push you over the Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh, you see the pressure.
Yes,
okay. See the pressure.
No.
That'll be a longer interview for them, shorter for me.
You know, we all lived through what happened to Roy, and as you probably know, there was an incident at the San Francisco Zoo here.
Terrible.
That's right.
Terrible.
Yes.
A tiger getting loose. What's the answer? I mean, you dealt with these animals on a daily basis, and you just never know, I guess, right?
Well, first of all, I don't know exactly the situation, what had happened here in San Francisco. I had some headlines, and some people talked to me about it. I didn't get involved in it.
That's awful.
Of course, if you have in a situation and the cat comes out, and I don't know, was it human error or something? I really don't know exactly what happened. I just know one thing. With Siegfried and Roy, that was an accident. It was not an attack. It was an accident. It turned out in that way, with a stroke and so on and so. But we deal with it, and Roy is still with his animals together, and he has the best time of his life.
Darren Romeo and Siegfried of the famed Las Vegas legends Siegfried and Roy. Romeo's engagement wraps up this weekend at the Post Street Theater. I'm Don Sanchez, ABC7's arts and entertainment reporter.
Thank you for downloading the Entertainment Insider podcast. Look for a new podcast every Friday.